This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Welcome to another episode of the Click Nation Podcast. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight, I'm joined by Mr. Bamf.
Evening, bitches. And sorry, that was lazy. My bad, I'm sleepy. Go ahead.
We'll continue. Also, we have Leroy Jetstream.
Greetings.
And last but not least, we have our special reality TV correspondent, Brandy from BLR Productions.
What it do, pimpin'?
And Adam Black will be joining us as soon as him and the family are done playing at the pool.
Yay! In the rain.
Must be nice.
Is it raining down there?
No, it's supposed to storm.
It's supposed to storm a little bit later.
I think what we had is moving that way, at least according to the radar. But anyway. Yeah. Like I said, you're listening to the Click Nation Podcast, and you can find us on our website, theclicknation.com. Make sure to follow our Twitter account, at theclicknation, and like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. And, of course, we're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes and to share and favorite our shows on Stitcher Radio. We always appreciate that. And if you ever want to leave comments for us, you can do that on iTunes by leaving a customer review. And, of course, on our website, you can leave comments to any of our posts. And, finally, you can email us. Our email address is theclicknation@gmail.com. So, it's been about, two weeks since we last all recorded together. Got a lot to talk about. Anything new or exciting happening ever in anyone's lives since last time?
Not really.
I'm sexy, but you know that's always.
I was gonna say that it never changed.
It never changes. That's just how I am.
Yeah, I guess everyone's been doing well. So, I know Brandy wanted to discuss the BET Awards.
Oh, yeah, that did happen with the 2 weeks we've been gone. It happened. For BET. It was a lot of... I had a good time bashing it on Facebook. If y'all ever follow me, that's what I do with the award show come on. Just follow me on Facebook. I always get in Twitter jail, so I kind of stay away from Twitter. But on Facebook, I say what I want as many times as I want to. And I wasn't happy with Samuel L. Jackson as the host. Like, I feel like they forced him to read a whack-ass script, and he should have just said fuck the script and just ad-lib all the time.
Let people know where on Facebook to find you.
Facebook.com/either Brandyce, B-R-A-N-D-Y-C-E-R, or you can do Facebook.com/BLR Productions Designs.
Yes. Just so they can make sure, for the next award show, they can make sure they're following along to read your rants.
Yeah, you can read my rants even if you're not watching the show. Reading my rants, you make you feel like he was just there.
Oh, cool.
But it was interesting. Some Kanye West did a good job. Him and the Good Music family did Mercy, and he added a couple of extra bars to it, and he was literally like trying to pop off. It was cool. I don't think a lot of people accepted the invitations to go to the show because there was more people missing than people there. The only people that they actually showed in the audience was the front row that had Jay, B, Kanye, Kim, and Solange. I don't recall seeing anybody else in the audience, so that was kind of...
That's normal protocol. That's BET Award show.
But when you think about it, I was like, okay, who actually was missing? You got, like, J. Cole wasn't there. You got, who else wasn't there?
Is he someone that people would miss?
I mean, it's a new face in the, quote-unquote, game.
I think they kind of would. Being there, like, everybody loves the Nobody's Perfect song, they were probably kind of expecting him to be there to perform it. So, you know.
Right. Drake wasn't there, so it's just like...
Oh, Drake wasn't there because Chris Brown was there.
Exactly.
Drake's old damn soft ass was scared. Oh, God, Chris is going to be there. He's going to kick my ass.
I noticed that because I was like, dang, they giving Chris Brown his little... Mini series, so obviously Drake ain't gonna win no shows because BET is clearly Team Breezy. Then, sure enough, Drake won no awards during the whole night, so I guess there was no reason for him to be there anyway.
Oh, he got shut out.
It was interesting. They had the acceptance speeches were very inspiring. People was like really honored for their awards that they won. The tribute to Frankie Beverly and Maze. Frankie Beverly got up there and he was winded the whole time. I was mad because he was really messing up a whole lot of my jams. He should just let us sing it for him instead of trying to prove us that he can still do it because he ain't got it like that no more. But anyway, it was nice. Nicki Minaj made like a raunchy comment. She was just like, after saying thanks guys, I love you so much, one up from a bar, she was just like grabbing her crotch. It was like Steffi Dick game up. I was like, wow, I see that coming at all.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
Very classy Nicki.
She wants y'all to know that why CMB bitches. What else went on? Dang, it seemed like it happened so long ago.
The overall impression I got, at least on Twitter, is everyone seemed to enjoy it. I think everyone was still on the high from the Whitney Houston tribute.
Oh, that was good. Brandy shocked the hell out of me. Like, I didn't think she was going to come out there after Monica did her whole church song with the Hallelujah. She did good. Brandy came out there and sung I Want to Dance with Somebody, and she did a great job. Like, I was like, oh, she can sing. Good job, B-Rocka. She was cool.
Yeah, I guess I've never been a fan of Brandy.
No, but Brandy gets slept on, man. No,
see, I'm a Brandy fan, but when it comes to a tribute to The Voice, hello, I mean, I don't think she can do it.
You know, my thing, I've never been a Brandy fan, so I don't know what's up with her. It's just something about her that irks the fuck out of me. I don't know what it is.
Her face. Far apart.
It could be because her eyes are so fucking far apart. She looks like an alien. But yeah. I don't know. It's just something about that chick. I've never liked her. Never, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm not going to lie. That second album, that Never Say Never album, that album's hot. I was listening to it the other day. You know, but and even the third album, Full Moon, hot. You know,
she's good. I think she's good. She's just not the norm. She can't rock it like the regular R&B chicks do. And I honestly feel like Brandy's always going to be before her time. And unfortunately, it's not going to work for her. She's not going to get the sales that she should get.
Especially now, her time's definitely past.
Yeah.
That's me.
Well, it's past for any R&B chick right now, so
that's
pretty
not,
much.
That's not Nicki Minaj or Katy Perry. True.
Yeah, if you're not Beyonce or Jennifer Hudson, I don't think ain't too.
Well, you know, Jennifer Hudson, she's a phenomenon, and Beyonce been in the game a minute, dude. More than a minute.
But you're right, R&B.
No, Brandon been in the game in a minute. What the fuck you do? What do you mean? Brandon been in the game for years.
Yeah.
Brandy and Monica.
Exactly. Brandy and Monica. They both. Monica just released a CD.
I was about to say, not one of them doing anything nowadays.
Yeah. No, but I mean, whatever. Good job for them. They did good on that little tribute to Whitney. Soulja Boy cried.
Yeah, I saw that.
it was hard to miss since everyone reposted it.
I was like, wait a minute. Like, why is he crying like an old bitch?
Like, he was like,
I was like, oh, he was moved by the Whitney tribute. Oh, okay, well, you know.
And then so I heard someone say that I guess he had just lost his cousin recently or something.
Well, no, his brother was in a car accident and died late last year, something like that. If I remember right. So, yeah. So, maybe he did get a little emotional. Showing I can't knock the kid for it.
Showing the people that he's human.
I would say it was one long-ass show. I think the show started at, 8 or 9 o'clock? It had to start at 8. It didn't go off till about 11:40. So
it was long.
Was it? I got a question. Was it taped live? Because I could have sworn that they always tape those things the weekend prior.
But no, BET Awards is always live. It's always live.
Oh.
The Hip Hop Awards is pre-recorded. That it is.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's live because at least that would be the explanation for why there was such a bad job bleeping words.
Right.
Yeah. Like they bleeped like whole sentences.
And not the curse word.
Yeah, I always miss the cuss word. Get every 10 words after it.
But yeah, it was cool. The dudes was blowing up with Elle Varner because apparently she has, like, nobody knew she had a body, and Twitter was blowing up on that one when she hit the stage.
Yeah, I hear she has a booty.
Yeah, she has, quote unquote, a bubble. So what I've been reading and hearing from my dude friends. What else? There was, I'm trying to think, anything else that was like,
Any good performances besides
Chris Brown. Everybody was waiting for Chris Brown. He was the last performance, and he seemed kind of winded. There was a rumor that he had he got arrested backstage for possession of marijuana. So I'm kind of believing that that's true, but they quieted it down real quick because it took forever to get on the stage. And when he was on stage, he seemed a little nervous. And I'm like, wow. I would perform nervous too if I knew somebody had to set some silver steel bracelets on the side stage for me. But whatever. Right. There was no confirmation of that little tidbit, so I don't know what happened. But his performance was pretty good.
So you said he closed the show out?
Yeah, he closed the show out.
Oh, okay.
And it was good. Oh, Samuel L. Jackson did his little. He came on the stage with whack ass.
Spike Lee.
Yeah, and they did their little thing of Niggas in Paris, and it was horrible. It was just whack. I'm like, Spike Lee had on this little leather kilt. I don't know what the hell he was wearing.
Yeah, he was trying to wear the thing that Kanye wears, whatever that thing they wear, who wears on Mercy.
He couldn't even
Spike couldn't even rap to the beat.
Yeah, he was winded too. He just, that wasn't, they I clearly didn't do that in rehearsal. It was not good.
Oh, yeah. Spike Lee and ratchetness.
I know. I was like, what? Ain't he supposed to be against the buffoonery? Look at him on stage. Get it.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you talk shit about Tyler Perry, but look at your ass on stage rapping in a leather skirt, rapping a fucking song called Niggas in Paris. That don't get more buffoonery than anything in the world, Spike. Go make some whack ass movies, dude. Go away.
But that was BT. BT's new tagline for the year is "We got you." Not sure if I.
I'm not sure if I want
wait,
them.
Wait. We got you.
We got
wow. you. See, like, that's BET thing. They're not even trying because the only good show they have is like an award show, and that's the only good thing they have for the rest of the year, besides any show they can pick up from another network and try and hold.
If you had any doubts that BT was the premier black star network, they got you. That's
so they got, yeah, they got you. So. we all learned that. We all learned that from Uncle Ruckus. Uncle Ruckus told us all.
Right.
Yeah, when I hear that tagline, I think of, like, picture someone, like, pointing at the TV going, ha-ha, gotcha.
That's how I took it. I was like, ah, oh, they laughing at us, like.
Yeah, we're going to officially go out on a limb and say BT is a part of the Illuminati.
That is black evil television, so you know.
Black evil television. You know what I'm saying? Bit nigga and crazy bitch. Shout out to Boondocks.
So that about wraps up our BET review, which will lead right into talking about Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Love and Hip Hop ATL. So y'all know all day today, Atlanta radio has been blowing up with playing Lil Scrappy's No Problems. All day long. I was like, oh my God, how the hell you come out with the South's number one I'm about to fuck you up anthem and your ass walk away from the fight with a mouth full of loose teeth and blood? Like, how that happened? I don't know.
Letting some guy be on top of you, buying your shoulder.
But, yeah, the highlight of last night's show was the big brawl between Stevie J, Jocelyn, Lil Scrappy, and Erica.
I guess Leroy and Banff, did either one of y'all catch any clips of this?
Yeah, man, I caught the clips of that, man. First of all, special Pimp Pimp Hooray for Stevie J and Jocelyn. Cause I mean he definitely has that chick under mind control. She should get bottom bitch award of the year in that fight. Cause she got scrubbed up and rolled around on the ground for nothing. Literally just sticking her nose in stuff that didn't even concern her. Like nobody's talking to you.
Like, it was like, wow, not only did she just speak out of turn, she came up with, like, oh, you fucking Stevie? It's like, whoa, where that came
after,
from?
After both of them just said that neither one of them had seen each other before.
Exactly.
He just called her a bitch, even though he had never seen it before.
I was like, wow, this not even your scene. Like, you're not supposed to have no lines in this one. Come on, don't talk.
Actually surprised. Leading up to the, you know, they kept hyping the fight and the previews and commercials and whatnot. I figured it would be one of those simple reality fights where nothing really happens, just a lot of posturing and security getting between individuals. But now they actually got the scrapping. Like,
I mean, it was quick though. It was quick. It's like if you reach for the remote and you looked away, it's like, look, they see Stevie J is getting dragged on the ground. Like, let me go, man. Let me go.
I don't see how he ended up getting dragged, because that second time when he bum rushed Scrappy and like body slammed him against the car, they fell to the ground and looked like Stevie J was on top.
Yeah, I was like,
he was on top.
But then I guess we didn't see what happened once they fell to the ground.
You don't know. I think Scrappy must have got up real mad, because rumors are going around that Stevie like to be on top of dudes like that. Oh, no.
Oh, no. She went there.
I don't know. Because I was like, dang, he got up, man. Even Stevie in the confessional camera was just like, God, calm down. You about to pop a blood vessel. It wasn't that serious.
Just drama.
It was interesting. Does anybody notice while watching CBJ that he got like a little evil look?
You're talking about his pimp grimace.
He's like, got a couple of them.
Like, he grimaces all the time.
It's like pimp grimace. I love it.
Yeah, what is that? Like, he'll grimace, and it's like he about to knock you out, and then he changes his mind. Like, he thinking about, I want to, and he calms down. He's like, well, you know, man, I was just thinking, you know, he's sitting in the car with my boy Benzino, and Benzino is trying to explain to him the word monogamous, which I'm like, you know, y'all too old to be saying monogamous in the car that slow. And Stevie J is having problems. Like, he's really having problems saying the word monogamous. I'm like, dude, as much as you lie, monogamous would just flow from off your tongue. Like,
and then he's sitting up in passing seats of cars with no shirt on and just a vest.
Oh, yeah. You know, Stevie.
Speaking of noticing CJ, have anybody noticed that this dude is never behind the wheel in a car? When he have his little brawls with Mimi and Jocelyn, when he's done, the camera you just see him walk away to, like,
he don't have no license.
Obviously.
No, he must not have no license or a car. I mean, I think he's doing, like, bad. Because every time you see him, he's never driving a car. Where is Stevie J home at besides Mimi home? Like, when he's, or in the studio. Is it, or at Jocelyn house.
He's doing bad. Dude is doing horrible. I mean, his drove ain't even there. So I'm like, do you have anything? Like, what are you doing?
You know, and then Benzino try and give him the pep talk, kind of, like, you know, he tries to be the voice of reason to him, like, you know, Benzino's like, dog, you messed up, like, how we kind of messed up with the source, you know, you messed up, we gotta get it back straight, just, because to do the pimp stuff he does, he gets scary. That's the only thing that he's like, you know, his pimping go halfway because he gets scary. Like, okay, Mimi sent him there. She starts fussing, and he wants to do the whole sweet guy pimp thing with her, and she's not having that. She's just like, nah. And, like, you know, I agree with Benzino. Like, dude, just say you sorry. Just look, say you sorry. No, he just sort of stood there and just said, sorry, 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 sorry.
He don't even do that. He just waits till the confessionals and he just be like, I can't even get a word in. She like real hot right now. She popping off.
Well, he did that with everybody. He did that with Jocelyn. Like, when he was trying to, when he ran that game with her at the house, which was like, Stevie, you want me, Stevie? You let me see? And, you know, he's like, you know, he didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing. He just tried to get a kiss. He didn't say a word. See, that was like, that's like pimping 101. Like, he ain't say nothing to incriminate himself.
I'm gonna need him to call up Scrappy Mama and figure out how to do the business, because she's supposed to be the number one old pimp.
You know what? If he had Scrappy Mama, I think he'd have both of them. I think he'd be all right.
Stevie J always seems to talk himself out of whatever situation he's in.
Because he's dealing with two of the dumbest females in Atlanta. Like, it's easy for him.
So what was going on the radio shows as far as, people, you know, the drama continuing to the radio?
Ever since this show aired, Atlanta has been like a city divided. You got some quote-unquote affluent black people who will talk the show down, but knowing that they
said... But they always watch.
Tune in every week. I was like, y'all ain't releasing these... Oh, they embarrassing the black population blogs for nothing. Like, the only way you know they're an embarrassment is your ass sitting there watching. So you got them, and then you got the other hood black people who are, like, calling in, talking about, we ain't embarrassing y'all. This is really how it goes down in the streets of Atlanta. Like, you got people, I know people who can relate to Jocelyn. They pick Jocelyn out of all the women on the show to relate to. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, wow. that is a weird thing. I'm like noticing that Jocelyn has sympathy empathy and sympathy with a lot of chicks in Atlanta. But then Atlanta is the strip capital of Georgia. Well,
that is Atlanta. That's Atlanta, man. I mean, she a tranny, and you know Atlanta's the gay mecca of the South. So you know, hey.
So she has two demographics.
She got them. She got it on lock.
Well, you know it's clear. You know, I'm telling you,
Jocelyn.
Wait, dude, Jocelyn got three. Because there are a lot of Hispanics in Atlanta, so she got three.
Yeah.
No, the Hispanics ain't really claiming her because that accent ain't right. So they not going to claim that.
I'm going to put it out there like this. Jocelyn, 2K12, RuPaul. Oh, I'll let you boy.
Oh, yeah, don't forget that we had Bucky from one of the...
Oh, Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love.
You mean Miss Jackson? If you're nasty, you talking about her, right?
Man, her name Bucky is gonna always Bucky, be Bucky. My Bucky, well, Bucky,
her I'm glad they said what show, the former reality show she was from, because I was like, she looks very familiar, but I couldn't.
She was on all of them. Like every, I think all the Flavor of Loves. and the
Charm School.
And the Charm School.
I miss those shows.
Yeah, she was on that, and she's supposed to be Scrappy's little side piece that he ain't trying to own up to just yet, but we all know what's going on with them two. Right now, Scrappy is claiming her to be his best female friend, and it's clear that Erica needs to watch out because Bucky is not only out for Scrappy, but I think she got her out on Erica's VH1 check. So if Erica don't create some drama, I think Bucky trying to show the producers that she can bring enough drama to collect that check. They ain't got to invite Erica to season 2.
I see, exactly right. Bucky is going for a ride of the year. She's going for a ride. She's trying to take that position of ride or die chick.
She trying to get up in there. So I'm curious to see how much FaceTime she's going to get in season 1.
I mean, look, she got experience, man. Anybody like kiss up on Flavor Flav? I'm sorry, Erica. You're going to lose this one.
let me see. This week, what's the girl name? Rashida. And I'm telling you, her husband, I don't know, something going on with that relationship. But the week prior, he expressed to her that she's not up to par with her wifely duties or whatever. So she did a little candlelit dinner for him. That was
that's cool. I ain't getting none. That's what he was upset about.
That was cute. Apparently, she falls in the category of a Mimi. She has one child from him, but he got about 10 others somewhere else. And because it was just like, they talked about that. She was just like, all right, so what's going on? And he was like, yeah, we got to start holding people accountable for their expenses. I was like, well, dang, how old are your kids? So it sounds like they're all over 16 because Rashida's pretty much saying, I'm tired of you paying for all these kids. All the money that we're supposed to be making together is going out the house to all your other ones. And Stevie J ironically admitted that he got about 4 or 5 baby mamas.
He got 5 of them.
I got 5 of them.
5 of
them. He got 5. He said it with pride, too. But man, like, you know how it is, Scrappy, like, you know how it is when you talking to your baby mama and you doing it, you know, whatever Scrappy was on, because Scrappy was taking so long just to say what he was trying to say. And then Stevie, like, yeah, man, I know about baby mamas, I got 5.
Yeah, he just said it like,
he like, man, cut to the chase.
Yeah, hurry up, man. I got five of them.
5 of them. Can't drive nowhere to go see them, but I got 5 of them. Yeah, so this week was interesting. Of course, the previews for next week look like it's going to be even more drama. The ladies seem like they get into a little scuffle. It's the two R&B chicks that could. They're going to get into a little scuffle. I think
K-Michelle got that ass. They get into a scuffle. K-Michelle.
But you know she's already crazy. It's a rumor that she's crazy, so we gonna see.
I like how that's a rumor. You know she's crazy, right?
Yeah, I'm like, but she's. But she's an R&B chick. Like, don't that come with the territory? Like,
it's not confirmed yet, but you know.
The best star though. The best star. Look at Mariah. The best star.
You think she's crazy?
Yeah, so we're going to see how crunk the ladies can get. The dudes had their little scuffle. Next week, the females will take their turn at it.
So I think that's a good wrapping up point for Love & Hip Hop ATL. We can look forward to some more next week as Brandy joins us once again.
When y'all edit it, can y'all please put in Lil Scrappy's No Problem, please?
Writing that down now.
You don't want no problem.
Don't forget to edit that part where I'm put my paws on them. Paws on them. What? I'm put my paws on them.
And you gotta get the clip from at the end when Stevie was like, you can't have Scrappy running around the streets like he running shit in Atlanta. You gotta get that part.
Definitely a must.
And if you can, Tim, find some new music that Stevie J is doing. That's what I wanted on the old show. Like, what are you putting out besides that Gasolina remix with Jocelyn? That's the only song I heard you do. I'm like, dude, that's Gasolina. I ain't no producer, but I know Gasolina when I hear it.
Gasolina, the remix? What's remix in Spanish?
That's
remix. No,
nigga. Well, damn. Now, that shit was fun as fuck. I ain't gonna lie.
So that's the reality check for this week. Once again, I want to thank Brandy for joining us.
Thank y'all.
And once again, do your hit your plugs for your dip out.
It's me, Brandis. I am the owner of BLR Productions Design Agency. You can find me on Twitter at Twitter/BLR_Productions or at BLR_Productions. Facebook is the same thing, Facebook.com/BLR_Productions Designs or Facebook.com/Brandis, BRANDYCER.
Talk to you next week, Brandy.
All right, peace out, y'all.
Later. And as Brandy leaves, we have Adam Black joining us.
Yay, yay!
Oh my God.
Coming in full force.
I know, right? This nigga talking lying, saying nothing.
Hey, what you doing up in here?
Nigga, you ain't hurt.
That's how you make an entrance.
I know, right?
Yes, sir. How's it going, guys?
We're good. We hit all the reality TV news for the week with the reality check and talked about BET Awards, so. If you're ready, you can go ahead and hit us with some Click Nation news. This section of the Click Nation podcast is brought to you by D. Adam Black.
All right. Thank you, sir. Well, we had a couple weeks worth of news. Tim said y'all already talked about the BET Awards.
Yeah, so you can skip that.
I'll have to listen back to the podcast. I know those two fools over there already did something. So
no, it was really quiet, dude. I didn't watch much of the award. I watched the tribute, and that was really about it. And I watched the beginning with Samuel, and you know that lame part. And then I watched the tribute, and then I didn't watch the whole 3 hours of it. I was like, nah, I can't.
Yeah. I always catch the beginning, and that's it.
Yeah, right. And I said a couple funny things. That was it.
Okay. Yeah, we got a couple weeks worth of news to go over. You know, proving black sequels can go forward. Screen Gems has confirmed there is going to be a Think Like a Man sequel. And so far, it's made $91 million domestically, so that was pretty good. Released on April 20th.
Pretty good.
My birthday.
Yep.
Make sure not to see it for my birthday.
We'll skip over what was last week's number one and at the box office, and we'll keep on rolling with some more news. This was confirmed last week. There is going to be a fourth season of Eastbound and Down from HBO.
Oh, okay, cool.
Nice.
Yep. And
wait, fourth season?
Yeah, this
was the third, I guess.
Yeah, that was the this past season was the third season. I heard that it wrapped up like pretty, you know, definite. But as far as the ending to it, now they have to unravel that and do another, you know, get it resolved to where they can start a fourth season.
Right.
So that's pretty good. And I think it was just this is all came back purely because Danny McBride said it was cool.
Well, but I said, why would you stop making – if the show's successful, why would they stop making episodes? I don't want to have a steady job and get money. I wanted to go do something else.
Well, I think it's just a creative thing. They thought they – I think from the stuff I had heard was that they pretty much had done a lot of stuff already. So they felt that everything was good to end it this year, but I think Danny McBride basically said, hey, you know, let's go ahead and do one another season. And of course, HBO's game is I don't know what for it. I heard from – I was listening to a wrestler's podcast, and one of the guys who was on the podcast actually did some work for that show. And he said, you know, they filmed a whole season in like 35 days. Wow. So that's pretty good for a 30-minute sitcom. So
yeah, that's cheap as hell, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I heard that. Then I figured I'd add it to the podcast to let y'all know about it. The next thing, did you still want to talk about the worst Spider-Man villains of all time as voted by Newsarama?
Yeah, just you don't have to read all 10.
Okay. Now,
Do top five.
Okay, I'll hit the top five.
Starting with five, please.
Oh, starting with five. Okay, don't start from one.
Because we won't care about time. Yeah,
build up some suspense, dude. Build up some suspense. Because, you know, you suspense. Do one, and I'm going to be like, you know, all right, well.
All right, so we've heard exactly what we need to hear. Let's go.
Number five is Stegron. Yet another terrible Lizard spinoff. Stegron was actually a S.H.I.E.L.D. scientist who teamed with Kirk Connors to visit the Savage Land and study dinosaur DNA. Being a Class A jerk, Stegron stole Connors' lizard formula, mixed it with dinosaur DNA, and conveniently turned it into a Stegosaurus-like monster with the ability to control dinosaurs, a power which is essentially useless outside of the Savage Land. After reverting to his human form, he blackmailed Connors into helping him Jurassic Park up some cloned dinosaurs. This failed because Stegron is a failure and he was taken into custody.
That name makes him a failure.
that was a bad concept. Like,
that's funny.
That's terrible. That is terrible.
They said that bit failed because Stegron's a failure. That's hilarious.
Stegron. Going into Saturday morning mode.
Decepticon. He's a Decepticon.
That is true. That does sound like a Decepticon.
That does sound like a Decepticon dino, their answer to a Dinobot.
Me, yeah. Stegron says, I'm going to eat Spider-Man.
Stegron kills.
All right, number four is Spider-Side. Spider-Side had, huh?
He said, what are you?
Huh?
Keep going.
I'm laughing. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. He has the distinction of arguably being the worst character introduced by one of the most hated stories of all time. A multiplicity-esque clone of a clone of a clone of Peter Parker, the hilariously named Spider-Side, was another of the Jackal's machinations designed to convince readers that the Peter Parker that they had been reading for years was actually a clone, and that Spider-Side was the original Parker. Spider-Side had all the powers of Spider-Man, plus all the abilities of Plato. He also had a delightfully 90s version of the original Spider-Man costume with inverted colors, huge footless boots, and a toothy Venom-style grin. There are only about 72 evil versions of Spider-Man. One of them is Venom. 70 of them are garbage. Only one of them has the power to turn into a puddle of slime and shrink and grow and keep coming back to life, even when writers try to kill him by throwing them off the Daily Bugle. Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad idea. Yeah.
Yes.
Number three.
Oh, crap. Hold on. Sorry. Phone jacked up. Let me get back to it. Number three, Tim may remember these. Two guys, Sticks and Stone.
Yes, I remember the names.
That's yeah. What
they look like police suckers up online. Keep going.
The Siegfried and Roy of crime, Sticks and Stones, are quite possibly the worst villainous tag team since Great the Hammer Valentine and Honky Tonk Man formed Rhythm and Blues.
Hey, I like rhythm and blues. That's bullshit.
Sticks and Stone are yet another horror story rooted in medical experiments performed on the homeless. Gerald Stone was a scientist trying to cure cancer, and in doing so, accidentally turned a homeless man into living cancer, which is pretty much as far from the desired outcome as you can get. Since he felt really bad about turning some hapless transient into a ravenous monster of living death, Stone immediately realized that rather than seek help from the Fantastic Four or any of the literally hundreds of super geniuses in the Marvel Universe, the only way to help Styx was by donning a pair of rocket launchers and hopping on a hover sled and becoming mercenaries to raise money for a cure. Oh, God. I forgot how bad that was.
Oh, this is of course, the picture they have drawn by Todd McFarlane.
Yep, he was the first guy to do it. These two master criminals didn't really get up to much. In their first thrilling adventure, they were hired to kidnap Mary Jane, but failed critically because she was married to Spider-Man, and he pretty much hates crime. Later, they were arrested for attempted murder because Styx also killed Venom, which is not even a joke. They were last seen fleeing Cardiac, who had barely escaped this list himself. Oh, God. Gray Goblin. Number two is Gray Goblin. He's on this list primarily for what he represents. He remember the storyline where Gwen Stacy had a kid by Norman Osborn?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Episodes.
Yes. And basically, Gabriel Stacy was introduced along with his twin sister, Sarah, as the bastard son of Gwen and Norman. Having aged to adulthood in only a few years thanks to Osborn's goblin formula, enhanced blood, the kids were convinced that Peter Parker was their real father and was responsible for their mother's death. In actuality, of course, the story revealed that Gwen was planning to raise her children with Peter as their father, and Osborn killed her to prevent her betrayal. I kind of remember it differently, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say they're trying to retcon a bunch of stuff, I see.
Yeah. Gabriel found some of his father's gear and became the Gray Goblin following family tradition. What's important here is that this story destroyed the history of Peter and Gwen's relationship, established the idea that Gwen had not only cheated on Peter with his archenemy, but had borne his children behind Peter's back.
How is that possible, by the way?
What?
How would she have born the kids behind his back? How would she hide her belly being pregnant from Peter?
Didn't she leave the country or some shit like that?
Yeah.
They pulled the soap opera trick of have the kids go away as babies and come back as teenagers.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But in soap operas, it's accepted. But yeah, this was it was just a dumb storyline, which we had talked about earlier anyway. And number one is a villain called the Big Wheel. After hiring Rocket Racer to steal evidence that he had embezzled from his company, Jackson Wheel got it through his head that he had to be a supervillain. With his singular passion, he went to the Tinkerer's bargain basement supervillain emporium and asked them to splice his DNA with something menacing like a shark. The exchange most likely went something like this. The Tinkerer: "Sorry, we've got a shark guy." Big Wheel says, "Okay, how about an ape or so kind? "Nope, taken." "All right, what about a slug?" "Believe it or not, that's taken." "Well, what do you have left?" "Well, it looks like we've got a wheel." "A wheel? Wouldn't that be kind of silly since my name is Jackson Wheel?" "Well, it's a big wheel." So Wheel took what he could get and started riding around in a giant metal wheel with guns on it, which is a textbook example of poor life decision. Wheel's only redemption is that Christos Gage later revealed that he had joined a group called Vil Anon, a support group for former villains, and was trying to fight crime. And Spider-Man let him tag along on a few patrols before Wheel realized that he was a complete waste of a hero as well as a villain. It just goes to show that a good writer can do something interesting with even the worst character.
Bravo.
But still, none of them are cool as Stegron. Stick around rocks. Fuck what you heard.
What else all you right, got? Let's see. I did have... we haven't talked about this, but it was... I've actually seen a few episodes. Dallas, the reboot at TNT released this past or this summer, has been renewed for a second season.
Good for them.
So I've seen it, and it's not too bad.
I had it on the season pass, but I wasn't really making an effort to watch too much of it, so I erased it. But I enjoyed the show. It's just one of those hour-long shows that I can't make the time to sit and watch all the time.
Yeah.
Not up the total opposite of Franklin and Bash, which is on now.
Of course. But you just have to be committed for it.
Yeah.
But so far, the show's averaging 6.9 million viewers for its first season. So that's pretty good for Dallas. I actually like it. What else all right. What else is there? Okay. The box office weekend for basically the 4th of July weekend. I don't know if y'all heard of a particular movie that came out that we're probably going to review tonight, called Amazing Spider-Man. It won the weekend with $129.1 million.
Woohoo!
So that's pretty good. And let's see. It easily, as far as reboots, it bested Batman Begins by earning $79.5 million in its first 6 days. So that's pretty good.
Think 3D?
Mm-hmm. Of course. 3D.
Really?
Well, inflation and all that other stuff. Let's see, it doesn't give a order. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to skim through it to get the right order.
Well, you said Spider-Man 1, so we can. That's all we need to know.
No. Yeah, pretty much that was the only one that's going to win. Brave came in second again or third? Let's see, I believe Ted got second, followed by Brave. Savages was number 4. That was the another new release for the weekend.
It's not good for Savages.
No, actually, no, it's better than expected. It turned out better.
Yeah,
I don't know about Savages. I don't know about that. It's I think it was supposed to do a little bit better. That's a star-studded cast, and it is Oliver Stone. So yeah,
Savages was a rather low budget movie. It's not. It's not it, like you know what I'm saying? Because John Travolta, I don't even think he got paid for that role. I think he did that role for free, if I remember him saying that right. But
wow,
So if it probably is right on target of what they expected it to make. It's not that big of a movie, and John Travolta is actually, other than Benicio del Toro, is the biggest star in the movie. So
wow, yeah. They're okay with it. They know they'll make it up in Blu-ray sales and rental Redbox and everything else, so they're okay. The only other release was Katy Perry's movie, Part of Me. I believe that's
what?
It.
What?
Yep, Part of Me. Yeah.
Who the fuck want to see that?
And apparently no one. You can see it in 3D and IMAX. Yeah, apparently no one because it placed number 8.
Damn.
Hey. Yeah, Pepsi's upset about that one.
Yay.
Thank God.
Y'all really should have made a video, Pepsi. Really. Y'all should have made more videos. Kept that budget.
Man, I just hope this goes to show these whack-ass pop stars they need to stop making damn concert movies in 3D and putting them out. Please stop. No one wants to see that shit.
Well, that's the thing because, Katy Perry's up there with, the last most noted performer recently was that Justin Bieber Never Say Never movie. It was $29.4 million when it opened.
Right. I was like, nobody really went. I mean, Justin Bieber, that's Justin Bieber. Folks going to go, kids, little girls, they.
Well, Justin. Yeah.
But Katy Perry, really?
Yeah.
She should just put that shit out on like Blu-ray and DVD and call that shit a day.
And it's also, I think, a lot of her popularity had already peaked anyway, so.
Right. Yeah. Now, has she like released this movie when Fireworks was hot? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, folks. Oh shit, the Katy Perry movie. You know, but she don't have an album or anything out right now. So mm-hmm. You know.
And it shouldn't have been out during the summer. That's my the whole thing.
Oh hell no.
Yeah, man. So I wouldn't have. That's how I wouldn't have released it during the summer. I would have done it during
the Bieber movie came out during the summer, didn't it?
I forgot when that damn Bieber movie came out, but it's Bieber who gets
probably because if I remember, which I might not be correct, but it
might have been the summer
because kids are out of school. So
I mean, but you know, like Mr. Banff's been trying to tell us, man, it's Justin Bieber. So his following is, I mean, he's not nowhere near Michael Jackson or Usher or the top guys in the game, but that he already has a built-in fan base. So whatever he comes out with, they're going to go.
Justin Bieber's Never Say Never was released in U.S. and Canada on February 11,
2011. Oh, see? There you go.
It wasn't during the summer.
Nope. Yeah. Hmm. So
it was pretty – when they came out, it was pretty much dead. So, yeah.
Right. How dare you research and prove me wrong?
I'm sorry. Sorry, sir. That's – you know, I have to once people ask, I have to go on Wikipedia and figure it out.
What?
Wikipedia be lying.
Be lying. Anybody type that up? Anybody just type that?
Like I said, you probably went in there and changed that shit just now, didn't you?
I'm not that fast, sir.
Whatever.
All right. In other news, video game movie news, Michael Fassbender heeds Assassin's Creed's call. He is signed on to star and produce the film based upon the Ubisoft uber successful video game franchise. And that's pretty much it. They don't have a release date or even like a year for the movie yet. So just that he's been tagged for it. Have you played that game, Tim? Or
no, but I've had the urge to go back and I have an Xbox now, so I'm pretty sure I can get the first game, well, probably the first two games, real cheap now. So I kind of want to play them just to try them out. I've heard it's been like split 50-50 on people's opinions. I've got whether or not they enjoyed the Assassin's Creed games or not. So, but eventually, I'm sure I'll try them eventually. I guess there's a new one coming out sometime before the end of the year. I thought there was only like four games, but apparently it goes Assassin's Creed like 1, 2, and 3, and then there's like another game that doesn't have any Roman numeral with it, and then 4 is coming out for the end of this year, so not sure exactly how many games they've even made out of the franchise.
It's 5, I think. 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But,
it looks awesome as far as the like the motion in the game and whatnot, doing all the, of course, stealing from Matrix type movements,
a lot of sneaking around.
Yeah, you know, jumping off of buildings and grabbing ledges and doing a bunch of acrobatical moves.
Did he say acrobatical?
I believe that's a word.
Acrobatical.
Yeah, acrobatical moves.
Apparently, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
Assassin's Creed.
So 6 will
wait,
be the one.
Well, let's see. Yeah, it's hard to read because they said some of these are ideas for games that were canceled.
There you go. Go to Wikipedia.
I'm just saying.
Well, I want you. Hey, just go to Amazon, type in Assassin's Creed, and then count, nigga.
Well, sir, I'm just saying.
Shit.
You said Amazon?
Yeah, go to Amazon. Type in Assassin's Creed, Xbox 360, and then count. That should give you an accurate. Why are you doing it? I was
Sorry, sir.
Next story.
You. All right. I will update the count later. Anyway, actors William Lee And Brian T are new additions for the Wolverine movie sequel. William Lee was recently seen on Hawaii Five-0 on CBS, and Brian T has been on recently on Grimm and Burn Notice. The story for the movie is going to rely heavily on elements from the Chris Claremont, Frank Miller Wolverine miniseries from the early 90s. T is going to play Noboru Mori, a corrupt minister of justice who is about to marry the daughter of a Yakuza crime lord. The daughter is Wolverine's love interest. This movie is going to take place in Japan. Note, and I will note that there. Lee will play Harada, more commonly known as the Silver Samurai. He possesses an electrified suit of samurai armor and is the illegitimate son of the crime lord. Could be awesome.
Hopefully.
Could be. You know, okay. I mean,
potential for awesomeness.
Yeah. You know, but it might suck. It is a Wolverine movie.
Yes. The next story I only bring up because we'll probably wind up hearing this. We're already hearing it anyway. There's a book y'all may know of called 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
And it's become a publishing juggernaut. And basically it's about a woman who meets with a mysterious businessman, and it's basically based in the whole erotic thriller type genre. Mm-hmm. It's also called mommy porn in some circles.
I haven't heard it called that before.
So are they planning a movie? What the fuck?
Actually, yeah. They are, because I saw that today, a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, social network guys are going to do it.
Yeah, the real-life Ari was, like, the main person that – I think he's the agent for the author. And so far, based upon just sales from paperbacks and I didn't realize you get 25% royalties for e-books, the author's already earned $50 million.
Note for future reference.
Yeah. Right, erotic mommy porn or whatever.
You know.
I don't think
I can do that.
No,
that's not my, no.
that's not I was just thing? Keep,
no, I was just taking, you know, taking consideration the ebook royalty fatness.
Yeah.
So I'll remember to write a book and just, you know, so I can release it.
Yes. Maybe
write a book anyway.
I had tweeted a picture online of, well, let me back up. Last Friday, the 6th, Christopher Nolan released on the Dark Knight Rises website production notes for the movie for people to download and review. And I printed some up. Put them, collate them, put them in a book, and read them, you know, read them over the last couple of days. Pretty interesting. The first 20 or so pages gives some plot details, gives you an idea of what's going on in the Batman universe or the Dark Knight universe. Since the last movie, where each character's motivation is currently and that type of thing. And then the last 20 pages or so are basically just list the accolades of the actors, the producer, the director, and, you know, basically just something to whet the appetite of fans before The Dark Knight Rises is released in theaters.
I'll skip that.
That
and the 13-minute trailer footage thing that's gone online or been.
Yeah.
I've skipped all that.
Oh, you want to be surprised?
Yeah, it's funny. Well, I mean, I've seen the trailers. I've seen enough.
Yeah. Well, the featurette really doesn't really tell you all that much. It's just a couple of new scenes in there.
If it was 13 minutes of the Avengers before I saw it, I definitely would have watched it. But yeah, Dark Knight, I'm just like, I'm not as excited about it as I was Avengers, because I've seen two Batman movies prior to this, so it's like, yeah, another one, cool. Bane, yeah. Let's get to it.
All right. And this I just saw and I managed to upload to the page. iFanboy had an article about the comic books that are ending as part of in the wake of Marvel Now.
Ending as in rebooting with number ones?
Yeah, well, at least these are ending. They released the full solicits of for October, and of course they noted Uncanny Avengers is going to launch with a new number one. They also released the solicits for the final issues of the following books. Captain America to end with issue number 19. The Mighty Thor ending with issue number 22. Incredible Hulk to end with issue number 15. Invincible Iron Man to end with issue 527. Fantastic Four ending with number 611. FF ending with number 23. Uncanny X-Men to end with number 20. New Mutants ending with number 50. And X-Men Legacy ending with number 275.
And they'll just be restarted with number ones, the majority of
them. Yay!
And make sure to check out the recording myself and Adam Black did, Comic Book Chronicles, Marvel Now, where we discuss the Marvel. Don't call it a relaunch or a reboot. It's a reshaping, I guess. There was another R word that they were trying to use for it. Reshaping of the universe. Marvel Universe post Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah, but you know that's what you know. I hate relaunch or canceling books, especially long running books, just for the sake of selling some comic books.
All the books you named, the majority of them haven't even got over 25 issues yet.
Well, yeah, but one Uncanny X-Men was just relaunched. It's almost been 2 years.
All these titles were either just relaunched or just started a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Let's do it all over again.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stay tuned.
Look out! Quick, get it back up! Hurry!
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stay tuned.
Are we all clear? Oh, okay, we're all clear. Great. All right, hit the red button.
No, not that button!
And now, Freakazoid!
And if you're still listening, I had a slight electricity hiccup and we lost connection. But we are back. Better than ever. Everyone's still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah.
It's hard not to top that. Yeah, it's hard not to top
it. I know, right? That that's fucked up.
Just
saying. I'm a little pissed off by that yay shit, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, we were just, I guess we pretty much were done talking about the comic book stuff. But just the titles relaunching with number ones.
Yeah, I've always hated that, as Kevin Hart says, it makes my balls itch. I mean, I just hate it. I hate relaunches for this, just for money. I've always hated it. But that's just me.
And hate is such a strong word.
I dislike it. At this rate, I realize listening back to some of these podcasts, I'll probably never be able to write comic books for Marvel Comics ever. But
fuck them. Quick side story. I was random. What day was that? It might have been Tuesday when we recorded the Comic Book Chronicles. And also, tonight's recording is taking place on Tuesday, July 10th. But anyway, that Tuesday, the July 3rd morning, I was going on a rant on Twitter because all the Marvel Now news was coming out and I was pissed off. Just disappointed and mad. So I was making sure the Marvel Twitter account knew my frustrations. And then Rick Remender came and tweeted something. Oh, yeah, he tweeted the article from Newsarama for Tom Brevoort and Alex Alonso. They both did separate articles with or interviews with Newsarama. So he was tweeting about that to promote it. And I retweeted one of them and added boo in front of it. So he replied back. He was like, "What exactly are you booing?" So I told him. Well, actually, I was booing one specific thing because iFanboy earlier in the day had an article interview with both Brevoort and Alonso, and something in the article they contradicted themselves. Oh, one of them said. And these were like two paragraphs right below each other. Like one was a quote from Alonso and the next was Brevoort or the other way around. I forget whose came first. But one of them said that some books weren't going to be rebooted to number ones. And then the very next quote from the other person was like, yeah, the majority of the books are going to be start over as number ones.
Oh. Well,
I was like, what?
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
I was like, that doesn't make any sense. So I sent Rick Remender the article that I was referring to just so he'd get the, so he'd see what I was referring to, just not blatantly booing him, because I actually like Remender. I actually don't read any of his books. Well, X-Force, I like, but I haven't read Venom or what else is it?
Very good.
Punisher, I guess he used to do.
Yeah, that was when they were doing that Frankencastle thing. I just couldn't get into that storyline, but Venom is really good. I like it. But yeah.
That was kind of cool. I was like, oh, and if everyone wants a nice Twitter tip for if you're ever following quote unquote popular or celeb people, the way to get them to reply back to you is to be one of the first people to reply to a tweet that they do. Like, mm-hmm. If they tweet something like 15 minutes ago and you reply to it, more than likely they're not going to reply back to you. But if they send a tweet out and within the first, like, minute you reply or comment on it, more than likely they'll hit you back up.
Awesome.
Oh, yes.
For people to actually care about that kind of stuff.
Right.
Some people do.
But, I think I'm going to start bothering more comic book people online.
You should. You need to follow Rob Liefeld and just tell him I said he sucks.
Yeah, I need
actually,
to find
him. I do follow him.
Okay, tell him that I said he sucks.
Send me his at name.
Huh? His at name is, I believe, Robert Liefeld.
Now I got to remember how to spell Liefeld.
Even his name sucks.
I did go looking for Jeff Loeb, but I don't believe he has an account. I was gonna. He was gonna have to block me.
I was about to say Jeff Loeb definitely doesn't want to count. If everybody's as ticked off as you two,
because we gonna follow the fuck out of his ass, and I will make that bitch life a living fucking hell. Fuck you, Jeff Loeb.
You said Robert Liefeld.
I believe so.
He
hasn't tweeted anything tonight, so I can't.
Oh,
see
there he is.
His avatar is Hawkman.
Yeah, Hawkman. He's verified, so I know it's him.
That bitch's name got lie in it. Lie. He lies that he has talent.
Yeah, that's how you know how to spell Liefeld. Because I put EI at first and I was like, no, that doesn't look right.
Right. He tweets mostly a lot of LA Lakers stuff. And,
oh,
you know,
damn, I should have.
And retweet what people say about him.
Yeah, because I see one tweet. Stuff. Please, Andrew Bynum, go to Houston. You are no longer wanted in LA. Oh, man, I'm going to fuck with him good.
Get him.
Yeah, he talks about sports, too. That's what I'm talking about.
Get him, too.
Yes.
In today's news,
I'll keep y'all posted.
Twitter terrorist Tim Dog.
He's not a Twitter terrorist.
Tim D, a.k.a. Tim D-O-double-G-98.
I'm very reserved on there compared to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
He's not going to call him an out-and-out bastard to his face, but, you know.
I'll just say how he can't – yeah, he doesn't draw human bodies proportionately and things of that nature.
Yeah, let's just – Let's point out that the thighs of his characters look like, I don't know, a giant turkey leg. Fucking hate Rod Laffer.
Yes, not tell, fans.
Yes, and tell that bitch I said it. Never mind. Tell it to I'll follow his ass and tell him my goddamn self.
There you go. Robert Liefeld. No underscore, no nothing.
Oh, I'm going to follow his ass tonight.
I followed him on the Click Nation account, too.
Oh, it's open. It's open.
I might use that. I might use the group account to mess with him. I want to get one of these guys on here as a guest. That's going to be the ultimate goal.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. After what?
Yeah. They come. Oh, no, they probably come on. They're used to it. They got thick skin.
What's the name? The Brutus Clay follows me. At least I know he.
Oh, he does.
Unless he's unfollowed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the story you sent to the email you had sent to RPR about it.
Yeah,
you're like, fuck you, Tim Dog.
another podcast called RBR Wrestling. One of the hosts had tweeted something during Raw about Brodus Clay, and you know, used his at name. And I believe I just replied to it. I might have added a comment to the retweet, and Brodus Clay just followed me off of the retweet, but didn't follow the original person that sent the tweet. So I was like, oh, thanks.
Yeah, Paul was like, fuck you, Tim. That was fine.
I stole his follow. Ha, ha, ha.
You follow stealer, you.
Have y'all seen a commercial for the campaign?
Is that the one with Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell?
Yeah, I just saw a commercial for that.
I saw the trailer. It could be pretty funny.
Yeah, but I say it looked kind of funny. I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're done with news. And... Yes. That's all you had, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So when we get back, we'll break down our review of The Amazing Spider-Man right after this.
No, we won't. We'll be talking about my new releases.
That's why I need to go by the outline that we have now.
Yeah.
Wow.
That should have came before news. But anyway.
Well, fuck it. So, we'll talk about that after the break.
No, we're skipping the break. We have a new segment.
Oh, well, fuck the break.
I was about to say, dude, you know when Tim get past that like hour and 30, Tim like, you know, we need to wrap this up.
I know, right?
Wrap this on up.
Fuck the break.
Tim, we had the movies yet?
Plus the technical difficulties I had with losing my power.
When are we going to review this?
So, Mr. Banff, you came up with this name for this segment of yours.
Yeah, and actually, you know, the name of the segment I came up with is What the Fuck is Coming Out This Week? New Release Roundup. But I'm appealing to our listeners. If y'all can think of a cooler name or a better name or something a little more funny, please let me know. You know, if I use it, I ain't sending you shit, but I'm going to use the fuck out your name, though.
We'll give you credit.
Nice no prize.
We'll give you, no prize, and we'll give you credit.
Yeah, and then I'm going to, we're going to eventually forget that you gave us this name, and I'm just going to keep that shit like it's mine. Possibly copyright that shit. I don't know.
But, yes, send us an email, theclicknation@gmail.com, if you have an idea, or just add us on Twitter @theclicknation.
Yeah, tweet us. But anywho, new releases, goddammit. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is all Blu-ray. So anybody who is wanting me to tell you about a DVD coming out, no, that's not happening.
What about VHS?
Go to hell.
Wow, crickets.
I'm gonna hit you with the silence.
What about Betamax?
We ain't trying to watch Ghostbusters.
I know.
I remember that being like one of the first movies I watched on beta, I think.
Wow.
If I say that, Police Academy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit.
Hey, I go way back. DC Cab. Yeah, I'm going way back.
Dude, yeah, we used to own DC Cab on video disc. Wait a minute. That's a little too much for the room.
Hey, laser disc?
No. Video disc. There's a difference. I'll explain that one day on a show. We'll do an old format show and
We'll talk about video discs.
All right. I'll write that down.
Right. Yeah, that is a good idea. God, I'm good. Anywho, new releases for this week, ladies and gentlemen. And this new release day is July 10th of 2012. Not many new releases this week. You know, the summer is always a kind of a slow time for new releases. Because, you know, everybody's going to the movies. You know, the fall and the winter is always the best time for new releases because you get all the summer movies. But for this week, the biggest release this week is American Reunion, which is the fourth theatrical sequel to the American Pie franchise.
I actually have that in the car.
Oh, yes, yes. Look at Adam Black already on it, goddammit.
Oh, you already bought it. Oh, nice.
Yes.
It's a funny movie. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, unfortunately, I have not seen it yet. I will be seeing it at Adam Black's house.
I was going to say, this weekend, more than likely.
More than likely, yes. That's right, Adam Black. We're coming to your house to watch movies and eat your food. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for leaving those Pringles.
I know, right? God damn it.
They were pretty good the next day. CeCe was like, yeah, how can you be eating his food? But they were left.
He left them.
Yeah.
I left them. You know, like I said, that is a click rule. You leave food at our house, that shit is fair fucking game, bitch. So, you know. But, yeah, that's all right. I'll buy some more. Anyway. Mm-hmm. American Reunion came out this week, coming out today, you know, from what I'm understanding, extremely funny movie. You know, it's actually all the characters that you know and love from the American Pie series and not those whack ass straight to DVD, straight to Blu-ray sequels that came out a couple years ago. You all should probably buy it. I'm not sure the gentlemen here that have seen it, would you concur? Should everyone buy it?
I've kind of, in the past, I would say yes, but I've kind of died down on the amount of DVDs/Blu-rays I buy now. Definitely at least rent it first to see if you.
I'd say probably rent it. I haven't seen it yet, but I know after the wedding one, I was just kind of like, okay, I'm kind of through with the whole American Pie thing. It's like, okay.
I had a gift card, so it helped.
Hey, well, you know, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's free shit, niggas. Yes. Okay, on to the next releases. The next two releases are actually kind of hand in hand. CBS is actually playing catch up with these releases. It's the first and second seasons of The Big Bang Theory are being released on Blu-ray today. The third and the fourth are already out. The third was released in 2010, and the fourth was released in 2011. They're just playing, you know, catch up for these titles, you know. But yeah, hilarious show. I like it a lot.
What show?
I'm not
Big Bang.
Big Bang Theory. Okay.
Very good show.
Yeah, I'm not a big buying TV show kind of guy because I mean, if I look at it once, I probably would never look at the shows again. I just, you know, that's just how I am. Unless it's something like an older show that I just love,
mm-hmm.
You know, but, I mean, if you're a fan of the show and you got a Blu-ray player, buy it. That's what I say. Gentlemen, what do you think?
Adam Black and I's father has started watching the show on syndication. So when I've been over there, like this past Sunday, it was on and I watched the full episode for the first time. It's pretty funny. It's definitely a show I probably will enjoy. So I just need to like make time to catch up on it.
Yeah. Right. It being in syndication really helps. So it's definitely, worth owning, especially if you're a fan.
Yeah,
but it's a pretty funny show. I don't have no problem with that one. That's one of the only things that's good in the CBS lineup is that one, you know, Two and a Half Men and How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
Actually, Two Broke Girls is like my favorite show, CBS comedy right now. That show is hilarious to me.
Oh, yeah. That's a good show.
That show is hilarious. You know, and it has Darcy from Thor, so, you know, I think she's you know, she's hilarious. I just love that show is funny as hell to me. I will actually probably buy that on Blu-ray because those shows have rewatch value.
Yes.
Yes. Now, on to the final new releases for this week. There are a few older titles being released by Warner Home Video today. A bunch of old science fiction, titles. There's Altered States, which is actually a very good movie. It's like the very first movie John Hurt actually acted in. It's his debut movie, and it's one of the oddest, trippy kind of movies you ever will see in your life. It's one of those movies you will watch one time and it will be stuck with you for the rest of your life. But a lot of just weird imagery, and this, and I don't want to give too much of the story away, but it deals with a scientist and his scientist wife and their studies with sensory deprivation and the trippiness that ensues after that. If you're a fan, I'm like, it's one of the movies you have to be a fan to like it and actually want to own it. It is not a movie that you run out and buy, so I'm not going to suggest that you buy it. If you've seen the movie and you like it and you want it in high def, buy it, because it's really not that expensive. It's like $15 or something like that. Thoughts, gentlemen? I know probably some of you have not seen this movie.
I think I saw it once at your place. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it at your place. It's definitely trippy and bugged out.
Right.
I would say if you're in a trippy and bugged out, it's like this. If you're in the Stanley Kubrick stuff, then yeah, you'll like Altered States. If not, you might want to pass on it.
I mean, yeah. Hell, it's even trippier than Stanley Kubrick shit. Really?
Yeah, is. But you have to halfway like Stanley Kubrick stuff to even like.
To accept that type of movie.
Even want to think about Altered States. I mean, if you meet somebody and they're like,
"That's true. Right.
I don't like Full Metal Jacket." Oh, you're gonna hate this thing.
yeah. You. I don't like Shining. Yeah, you ain't gonna like Altered States at all.
Yes. I keep thinking of Altered Beast, the video game.
Oh wow!
Wow!
That was the sound the guy makes, you know, when he transforms.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I'm impressed. Oh God, I love that game. Next movie is Blade 2. Is being released today on Blu-ray, which is really, really odd. I still have not figured out why. But on June 19th, Warner Brothers released Blade 1 and Blade Trinity, and why they waited a whole month to release Blade 2, I don't know. But, hey, you know. Hey, so if you're a Blade fan, all three of them are out on Blu-ray. Go buy them. Take them home. Y'all buying them? Anybody? No?
No.
Probably not?
I already had a Blade, so.
Right. I mean, I still got them on DVD. I know it's not high def, but, you know, that's
fine. You know, hey, you know, Blade is not one of those movies that I just feel the need to buy on Blu-ray.
Right.
I know I'm probably gonna catch some heat for that, but fuck you. I don't care. Last and final movie is Spawn. For some fucking reason, someone did at Warner Brothers decided, hey, let's do a high def transfer of Spawn.
How did that go? I guess it's not out yet, so you don't know. You haven't seen it, right?
I'm not planning on seeing it, so I fucking hate that movie. That movie is terrible. That's one of the worst comic movies I've ever seen in my life. You know.
We have to do a show recapping all the worst comic book movies.
Oh, yeah, write that down.
Didn't we already do that? Oh, no, we did the ones that was in reverse. That was in reverse.
We did?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did the ones where the movies were turning cartoons. Where it took live action.
Yeah. We did that. Yeah, we'll do that. But yeah, Spawn, hey, if you're a fan, buy it. If not, don't buy it.
Or, you know, as a consolation, instead of that one, just go back, get the HBO one, Todd McFarlane's, the comic book Spawn, and get that instead.
Yeah,
that animated series is actually pretty good.
The series was good, and it's probably at MovieStop or somewhere on DVD. Dirt cheap.
Get it.
I mean, that's something for you to really have.
Yeah, this is one of the few times I will allow you all to buy DVDs. So, yeah, buy that. Don't buy the Spawn movie. It's bad. very, very fucking bad. That's all I've got. Holla.
Holla, holla. So thank you for your Blu-ray new releases. And, of course, as listeners, make sure to let us know what we can call this new segment.
Right.
It's like Cyber Sunday from WWE, People's Choice.
Hello?
Need to have a poll. Oh, you're back.
Hello? I'm sorry.
Didn't realize you had left.
Sorry. Well, where'd y'all leave off? I'm sorry.
It's over now.
We didn't go out, so at least I didn't go out with my end. I heard everything.
Yeah, he just lost his connection.
Yeah. So I'm back.
Oh, well, welcome.
So now we're gonna forego the break, and I guess we'll just get straight to the review of The Amazing Spider-Man. Who here has everyone seen The Amazing Spider-Man by now?
Yes.
Everybody's seen it.
Yes. Yes, everyone's seen it.
But once we can actually do a review of a current movie and everyone's seen the movie.
Exactly.
What are thoughts on the movie so far from everyone?
I'm just gonna be the first one to throw it out here. Comparing Amazing Spider-Man to Spider-Man, it didn't leave me with the goosebumps that the first one did. It's okay as a reboot, and it's really kind of just really an okay as a reboot. It's not even one of the best reboots I've seen. It's just it's an okay reboot. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie, you know, unlike some people who've been touting the movie and waving the Spider-Man flag for 6 months, like, oh, Spider-Man. Hey, let's talk about Spider-Man. we're gonna talk about Spider-Man today. What about Spider-Man? You know, we bring up real movies like Prometheus, Batman. What about Spider-Man? And
what about it?
Yeah, what I'm telling you, what about it? Now he's like,
hey. Man, that nigga put that extra heavy deep voice on your ass then. You better watch the fuck out.
My initial feeling after watching it one time is I enjoyed it. Spider-Man had moves like Spider-Man as far as the CGI fight scenes with him and the lizard and swinging through New York City were definitely top notch. But I just kept left with a sort of an opinion on it. Anyone else?
I did enjoy the movie, Jetstream. I did not enjoy it as much as I enjoyed the original Spider-Man movie. It's way too dark, way too sad to be a Spider-Man movie. It's an extremely emo Spider-Man movie.
I'm glad glad you brought that up. Because not to interject real quick, but when news of the Spider-Man reboot was coming out, I guess 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whenever it was, wasn't it just right after The Dark Knight came out?
Yeah, it was right after The Dark Knight.
And everyone wanted to make their superhero movies dark to match the Dark Knight.
Well, everyone really kind of has now. They're kind of making them a lot dark. Everyone has done it now, so yeah.
Right.
Avengers wasn't dark.
Avengers wasn't dark. No Marvel movie is dark. No Marvel movie.
It's hard. It's hard to make a Marvel one kind of dark.
I think
the only
dark Marvel movie is The Incredible Hulk. You know,
and it's really around not, and feeling sorry for himself.
Yeah, and that's really not that dark. But I mean, that's the thing. You can't. I mean, it's Spider-Man. Spider-Man does have a certain amount of tragedy in his story, but you cannot. Spider-Man cannot be a Batman. Spider-Man movie cannot be a Batman movie. It just cannot. It just doesn't work for that character. That's what drew life out of this movie for me. It's a sad fucking movie. He's already sad about his parents disappearing. Then Uncle Ben gets murdered. That's sad as hell.
Which they screwed that up.
Yeah, they screwed that the fuck up. the fuck up.
They didn't even have the quote, with great power comes with great responsibility.
Oh, that was like one of my, that was like one of my beefs. I was telling Mr. Banff, like, one of my beefs with him on that one is, one, I don't like the relationship between Peter Parker and Doc Connors, a.k.a. the Lizard. Didn't like that relationship. Him and Uncle Ben was cool, but they took out the best. I mean, that's like the best part of Spider-Man is, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And it's like they made it this long thing where your father said if you have good morals and do like what? I don't even remember what you said, Uncle Ben.
You know what? They kind of alluded to that. But
yeah, like they loosely allude to it,
right?
Without actually using the historic quote,
right? But I'm not. I mean, I just don't. I mean, it's too. I mean, like I said, the movie's too fucking sad. Then you have the character Gwen Stacy, who I love Emma Stone in this role. I just love this character. But
yeah, I agree with
anybody. Anybody who's read Spider-Man and knows the Gwen Stacy story knows what's going to happen to Gwen Stacy. You know, that's hanging over the entire movie for me because I love that character. I love her character in this movie, you know. And then on top of then another death in the damn movie, you know, Gwen Stacy's, you know, her dad gets killed. And Dennis Leary
spoilers.
Is
spoiler alert.
Fuck spoilers. The motherfucker been out almost 2 weeks. Fuck yeah,
by this time.
And 3 weeks on bootleg.
Man, fuck them. But I mean, and then you know, and Dennis
probably
Leary
a month
fantastic.
On streaming. But go ahead.
Right. You know, Dennis Leary is fantastic in this movie. You know, I mean, and there's some good performances in the movie. It's great performances. You know, I love Martin Sheen. I love Sally Field. I mean, I love Andrew Garfield playing Spider-Man. But like I said, it's just a sad, dark Spider-Man movie. I hate when people say, oh, we're gonna make it more realistic, and then that shit is like dark and depressing, and it's like, what the fuck do y'all leave?
It's more real world. That's what they'll say.
I mean kind of, but with some of the stuff, the way this Peter Parker, they kind of make him, he's a little bit like Peter Parker from the comic book, but then by the time you get to the end with all of this, the deaths and everything that's happened, and, you know, it's, spoiler alert, it's raining, and it's raining him and Gwen Stacy, and it's just like, God, this is...
Did you spoiler alert the rain?
Nigga. I did, because some Negro's going to be mad I mentioned the rain.
Nigga, you know some shit's in the damn trailer. That ain't a spoiler. That's in the trailer, nigga. Rain.
Well, wait, don't worry. Let me go. I'll find another spoiler alert. And just spoil something else. Anyway,
he fights the lizard. Spoilers.
Yeah, big spoiler on that one, But no, man, I just felt like, okay, all of this is sad. You know, he can't see, you know, Gwen. Well, he promises not to see Gwen no more, but we know he's gonna break that. Yeah, we know he's gonna renege on that. And this one, I just feel like, you know, the old Spider-Man, he had enough guilt with Uncle Ben. Now he has this thing hanging over his head of his dad. Maybe this dude Doc Connors, who I don't even think he likes this Doc Connors. That was one of my things. Well, I don't even think he likes this dude too much. And also with Gwen Stacy's, you know, father being killed, defending him, you know, as Spider-Man. Plus, they are bringing up the whole thing from, and a lot of this storyline for this movie came from the Ultimate Spider-Man comic book, where they changed a whole lot of stuff. I'm just glad in the movie that they didn't really make him a, the other movie, he became like a basketball player and was playing high school ball and something, and that's how Uncle Ben, never mind. But, you know, that was one of the things I didn't like. And another thing I didn't like that Doc Connors didn't have a family nor a real relationship with Peter Parker, because to me, that the only foil with Peter Parker and the Lizard is the fact that they are friends. He's a mentor. He's somebody that Peter Parker cares about. And he usually in the comic book, Lizard is no problem for Spider-Man. He's just usually trying to keep from hurting his friend Doc Connors. And that's usually it. And this movie, I felt like he does. I mean, he doesn't really care about this Doc Connors. I mean, he's worried about him as a guy and a person and respects him and admires him probably as a scientist that he worked with his dad. But, you know, he doesn't really know the guy, and there's no real bond there. Even like it was even set up in the last movies where there's a bond, and even the comic book that there's kind of a bond.
What were everyone's Adam Black, Mr. Yeah. Banfield, giving his opinion on Adam, said he enjoyed Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man / Peter Parker. What about everyone else?
I thought he was good.
Hey, I agree with Mr. Banfield. All the acting in there was top notch in the whole movie. I'm a little hurt there's no Jonah Jameson, but you know, life goes on.
There was no bugle besides just the.
I think it was a TV. Yeah. It's like a TV channel or something like CNN.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, I mean, maybe he'll. I know in those Ultimates, he doesn't really make an appearance. They had a whole thing where Spider-Man was like wanted and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe they'll play that up in the next one. You know, because we don't know what really happened to Gwen Stacy's. I mean, we know what happened to Gwen Stacy's dad, the audience, but people on the outside just know that Spider-Man went to go help, you know, with the lizard and all of that stuff. And, you know, maybe they might add it in that Jonah says that Spider-Man and Lizard are both in cahoots. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it's, you know, honestly, I think what happened with the movie is the fact that I think the director, Mark Webb, because this is Mark Webb does independent films, just really, really independent dramas, really cheap independent dramas, and this is his first big budget superhero movie. I think he was kind of sort of, I think he was a little bit out of his league on this one. You know, I don't think, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Don't get me, you know, I don't think he was ready for that kind of a movie yet. We should have graduated him into that one.
Yeah. I think he did pretty decent with trying to make us care about the characters and setting up relationships. He did a real good job setting relationships amongst the characters, but now with some of the action and stuff, you know, this Spider-Man is not a high flyer like the, you know, Spider-Man from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man who is all over the place. He's, you know, I guess in this one, this is his year one, so he's just learning how to, you know, be Spider-Man. So he's, you know, he's not as spectacular to me as far as the movements and stunts. I do like the little, the first shooter thing they're doing with the camera, that a little bit. That was cool.
I will admit, I like the costume actually a lot. That's the costume's really, really fly. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, my issue, I had another issue, and that was with the villain, Kirk Connors. There was no explanation for why, but I guess besides his research being taken away, why all of a sudden he flipped and just turned evil, unless it was the lizard DNA doing it.
Oh, that's the lizard. That's the lizard.
But still, it was just like went from like 0 to 100.
That's the lizard.
Typical comic book. You know, mad scientist, or, you know, dumb hero logic. Even though they're smart people, instead of, you know, testing this the right way, I'll just inject it in myself. Fuck it.
Well, they did give him the pressure on this movie, which basically the guy was
about to cut him off.
Well, no, he had the formula. He's like, we got the formula. I'm going to cut your budget. We're going down to the veterans clinic to try and regrow some limbs. How you feel about that? I'm out in the limo.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm gone. We're going down to the veterans clinic. We're regrowing limos. We really don't need you, Connors. So Connors was kind of trying to see. I think his character was like, okay. First of all, he knows what's going to happen a little from what happened earlier. You know, in the past, which that might be a twist. That might not be what, you know, when I first watched it, I was like, oh, he turned into the lizard and tore everything up, which I believe he turned into the lizard, but I don't believe he was the one that was doing some other stuff in the movie. So I don't believe that was him. I believe that might have been somebody else. But, you know, But he, you know, he, I think he was trying to just do it to see if something did happen, then he wanted to see how he might have been able to help, maybe, you know, because he tried to stop the guy in the car, like, look, whatever you do, don't test it. This stuff is not working right. You know, look, don't do it. Yeah, look, no, look at me. I just got through peeling, you know, peeling my arm out of a alligator suitcase. So,
wow.
So, no. But you know, but I like to say that Connors, I just don't feel for that Connors. He, the guy that does the acting, he's a great actor. He has the whole pompous scientist thing down. But you know, like I said, he just didn't have that kind of even that either teacher quality or nothing to me. He was, you know, Doc Connors is usually not that kind of, you know, he's a little bit more approachable, like in the comic books and stuff, than this guy is. This guy is more like Osborn.
Any Hello? More thoughts? Yeah, we're still here. We're just
okay.
We're just listening.
So, right. Kurt Connors. Anything at being too the movie being too dark. I see we lost. Oh, he's back. I was gonna say we lost Mr. Banff, but he's back. You are back, right? Banff? Maybe not. But, so yeah, it was too dark. They tried to emulate the Dark Knight formula. And there was the Kurt Connors, at least in my opinion, how he just flipped and turned bad too quickly. At least as far as one to also mutate everyone, the whole city of New York, into being.
Yeah. Well, but that's the
list. That's a comic book. That's comic book 101. I'm gonna make everyone like me.
Yeah, but
that's Lizard.
In this time of in this generation, we can't just do typical comic book 101.
Well, yeah, and if Mr. Banff is on, Mr. Banff, I know when we were talking, he was like, that was just so cliche. You know, he was like, oh, that's so cliche. And I'm like, really, that's kind of the Lizard. And to me, as supervillains go, I see where they're trying to go with this movie. To me, when they said the Lizard, I was always like, the Lizard is always, you know, on the Spider-Man. He's on a low-level bad guy on the bottom of the totem pole. Even when they make him smart, he's still, you know, it's not that difficult for Spider-Man to defeat him. Right. I mean, he's there with Rhino, Shocker, you know, Vulture, and there are a bunch of other dudes is kind of where he's kind of down there with. It's not like when he's like trying to fight Kingpin, Venom, especially Venom, or even Carnage. Or even Doc Ock.
So
who's Banff? Is Banff here?
He just texted me. He's having problems. I'll see if I can get him back. But I guess that's about a good way to. I guess Adam Black, you can start us off with
Adam
our.
Back, anything you got to say, man?
Well, yeah, I didn't really give a opinion on it. Honestly, on the whole movie, I was honestly very pleased with it. I really was. Had to pull back because I was, you know, I didn't want to give. Hello?
Hello?
I ended the call trying to call his name.
Bam.
Yeah. Hopefully the audio's not messed up.
So yeah, like you were saying, you weren't into it. Like I will say one thing, I'm through talking. I ain't running my mouth no more. You know, I was one of those people. I enjoyed the movie. I'd even recommend people to go and see it. It's a chill movie. I don't know how it really stacked. It doesn't stack up the first Spider-Man, but it's not garbage. Because I was one of the people earlier, a couple of podcasts back when Tim Dog Double DOG was like, yeah, I'm going to go see Spider-Man. Man, that movie's going to suck. I was one of the people in the background saying, oh, it's going to suck. I hate that crap. And then I felt a little bit bad, like when I got into like 30 minutes of it. I'm like, oh, crap, I like this shit. Now what I'm going to do?
Yeah, so you liked it.
Well, yeah, I liked it. It was cool. I mean, It's not a great reboot, but as the movie goes, especially compared to most of the stuff that's been out this summer, except Avengers, Tim, mm-hmm. except Avengers, you know, it's like, well, Avengers is like pretty much the best thing that's come out.
Yes.
You know, even with my Prometheus, for everybody, I like Ridley Scott. Everybody knows that. But, you know, Avengers right now is the best thing until Batman comes out.
As I was saying before we the call it went on hold for a second there, I honestly thought the movie was very good, very, very good. I was thrilled by it. As far as the actors, every actor did a great job, I felt. You know, the Lizard, well, Kurt Connors, you know, that was the one that was kind of iffy, but I still thought he was doing a good job with it. And what I wanted to piggyback as far as the darkness of the movie, you know, Spider-Man is a tragic character. I like the fact that, you know, you've realized Peter was going through all the drama at home, and, well, you know, going through the drama of growing up without his parents. And then he has to, you know, come to school and, you know, he's getting picked on and he gets his ass kicked and all that kind of stuff. Then, you know, the great thing happens to him and, you know, he can't really discuss it. And, you know, things just start looking up and then it just goes back to being bad again. So that's why I didn't really have a problem with the darkness of the movie, because you know Spider-Man at the heart is a dark character. Well, not really dark, but you know, he just has to deal with so much crap, you know, in both lives, his civilian life and his you know, crime fighting life. One thing I did like was just the realism of Spider-Man, of Peter Parker coming home and he's got bruises and cuts all over his face. I like that because, you know, that added a lot more realism to the whole thing.
I'm mad that Aunt May's just like not even gonna force him to tell her what's going on.
Yeah, but you know, at the end, I just had a feeling that, you know, maybe she does, you know, know.
Of course, because
spoilers,
as everyone, as our friend that clicked it would say, that's his biggest pet peeve. Everyone knows Spider-Man's identity.
Yeah,
well, yeah, that's the new thing in comic book movies now is everybody has dropped the cheesy "my secret identity." Now is like, you know, everybody pretty much knows. You know, Iron Man started, so everybody pretty much knows. Peter Parker, The dad knew, Gwen Stacy knows that he's Spider-Man, which that's really phenomenal in like superhero history, because usually superheroes date a chick for like years and she doesn't find out until like the supervillain's giving a long monologue and unmasks him or he has to save her, and it's like, you know, you save me, it's like, oh, now we got to talk about this, you know.
Yeah, but I think that came with the That came with the changing of the times.
Yeah.
You know, he's just, I mean, in comic books now, like, the Ultimate Universe really brought that out, because it was like a whole bunch of people knew who Spider-Man was in the comic, in Ultimate version of the comic books. And you know, that kind of did get on my nerves for a while as far as reading the Ultimate comic book. Oh, yeah, someone unmasked Spider-Man, and you know, of course, no one's really going to use this knowledge to do anything about it, but, you know,
that was always weird. It's like everybody knew, like Dr. Octopus knew, Osborn knew, everybody like knew he was Spider-Man, pretty much.
And of course, if you go see the movie, yes, there is an extra scene during the credits, so please stick around.
Who are our guesses of who that was?
I'm going to put my money on Osborn.
Same here.
I was thinking Mysterio for some odd. I mean, where the hell does he come from? And then where the hell does he go?
Yeah, well, the only other option would have been Electro. He could have zapped in on an electric line or something like that, because you add in the thunder.
That is something I didn't think about.
Yeah, but then I was like, well, you know, the only person it could be is Osborn, who, you know, more spoilers, is like a person that runs Oscorp, but apparently he's dying. and he needs whatever Doc Connors is working on to cure him. And that's basically what they're working for.
Yeah, he has that whole thing like the old combos with the Vulture where he was always needing, either way, off the cartoon, he was needing something to be young, and on the old ones, he just flew. But, yeah, I put my money on this Osborn because his hand was screwed up. So it's like, oh, he has a messed up hand, so maybe that's what they were trying to, you know, get him back straight.
Mm-hmm.
But then it could be a completely different thing. So,
yeah.
And maybe they need to do that. Maybe they need to surprise us.
Yeah.
Maybe. But
I was honestly pleased after watching the movie. Even the kid watched it and enjoyed. She actually enjoyed it. Kirsten enjoyed it, and she says goodnight, y'all. Anyway, yeah, and I realize she isn't going to be the black girl that's going to talk during the entire movie.
Let's get to our click ratings.
All right. I'll start.
Mm-hmm. Do you don't happen to have the rating system handy, do you?
Hold on, just one second. I can get it real fast.
We put that click on the spreadsheet, didn't we?
I don't know if we ever did. Hold on. Let's see.
If it's the five, I'm assuming we gave some kind of like five rating.
I got it. Yeah. The movie scale, half star, meaning just one single half star equals skip the movie. 1 star if you want to see it, wait for basic cable. 2 stars, wait for it on pay cable. 3 stars, worth the rental / watch it once. 4 stars, holds up to multiple viewings. 5 stars, is a must own and worthy of being in your collection.
I give it a 3, whatever that, watch once, because you at least need to go see it like in like a big screen for all the nice effects. And I guess, you know.
Did y'all watch it in 3D?
I saw it in 3D.
Yeah, I did.
I did.
It was, I will say the 3D really, you can watch it in 2D and it really wouldn't make a difference. The 3D didn't even add that much of depth to the movie. Really, only time is like the swinging scenes at the end of the movie. But yeah.
And you can sort of tell that while watching it too. At least I could. I was like, yeah, they didn't really do too much with the 3D.
Right.
So, anyone else want to give their rating?
I'll give it a 3.5. Like I said, I mean, you may want to just watch it once. I mean, hell, you may want to like buy it, but you know, I mean, I give it a 3.5.
Jetstream.
I'll probably give it just a 3. I mean, like I said, I found it enjoyable. I don't know if it would withstand multiple viewings. Like I said, I'm a little bit biased of the first Spider-Man. The first one, Sam Raimi's, I could watch that one over and over and over again because I was just amazed that he pulled off the special effects back then. But now, 3. I mean, I give it a 3. I mean, it's still an entertaining movie. And there are a couple people out there probably want to buy it and start up the new Spider-Man collection. So,
all right, I will bring up the rear. No. And I will just basically say I was debating about this rating after seeing it. I had to think about it and, you know, compare it to the original series. And, you know, stand on its own, I actually will give it a 4. It does not live up to any of the first movies with the exception. It's better than 3. I will say that it is better than Spider-Man 3. I thought the essence of the character was still in this movie, and I think it definitely would hold up to being watched more than one time, at least once in the theater, and you know, whenever you get it or buy it on DVD or Blu-ray, excuse me. I think it would hold up to multiple viewings. So definitely, I give it a 4.
And there you go.
And there you have it.
There you have it.
Bitch.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yes.
So with Hold that, on. Vince. With that nice setup, we'll move on to reading some of our listener feedback and comments and whatnot from previous episodes and iTunes reviews and emails. So first off, I've got a when we had a post on Marvel Studios reveals their secret 2014 movie, which, as anyone could guess, ended up being Guardians of the Galaxy. We had a DJ Food and Drink, I believe that's also his Twitter name. He said, not too familiar with Guardians of the Galaxy, but I'm all for Marvel launching another series. Did an awesome job with the Avengers. And Black Op, a.k.a. Kojak Delta on Twitter, he also said, I was interested in knowing if it was them. Many thought Black Panther, which I think Marvel will introduce him like Captain America, he will introduce the new element or villain for Avengers 3 or be at the end of Avengers 2. Marvel trying to keep that character quiet for some reason. And we appreciate that those comments. Any, I don't know if any of the guys want to have any comment to any of that.
No, I'm excited for it.
Yay or nay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm kind of cool with I'm cool with the Guardian of the Galaxy thing because it just shows Marvel Studios' willingness to do unexpected and bold shit. You know, I mean, it's Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Who the hell? No one outside of the comic book reader realm knows who these people are. So, you know, I think that's cool of them to actually want to take that kind of a risk. Black Panther, Kojak Delta is right. They are like sitting on his on that Black Panther for some reason. I believe the script is done, and I believe the script is probably good as hell.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
I guess they've already didn't they do screen tests for Ant-Man already?
I think so.
They had been sent on Ant-Man for years since, I believe, Iron Man.
Well, no, supposedly, like, whoever the person that's going to direct it did some test footage trying to see how to do his transformation and how he'd look on screen, basically. So, like, they've taped stuff already. So.
Yeah, so. I mean, but yeah, I'm really interested to see why they are sitting on Black Panther like that. I mean, Ant-Man I can give a shit about because, I mean, Ant-Man's a whack-ass character. He always has been.
Yeah, I've never cared about Ant-Man.
Hey, he beats his wife. Come on.
Everyone goes, I actually don't care about that, but that's what everyone goes back to.
He's just abusive. It's like, wow. That was a very, that's probably like the most famous Hank Pym story of all time. Well, pretty much. Hank
they had to give his ass something to do. He's fucking boring. He does two things. He gets real small or he gets real big. That's it.
He's one of the smartest men in the Marvel Universe.
As long as Reed Richards is sitting right that close to him, it don't matter.
I say he's one of, not deep.
He's like a pale third compared to like we got Reed Richards.
You got Reed Richards. You got Tony Stark.
Tony Stark.
Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
He's pulling up the rear in the popularity. Egghead brain.
The only thing he did was what's the robot he made?
Ultron.
He made Ultron. Ultron. Yeah, that's the only other claim to fame he got.
And look, so, and Ultron smalls. Turns badass. He couldn't even control his creation.
Right, so he gets small, he gets big, he beats his wife, and he created one of the baddest Avengers villains there ever was.
So
That's it.
And on our Here Comes the Spider-Man episode 14 podcast on the blog post, we had a comment from John Araki, or I might have to ask him how to pronounce his Twitter name. Jonas3000, I believe is how you say it.
Johan.
Yeah, I see y'all buddies on Facebook now.
Yeah, man. That's my boy, John.
Yeah, good people. But he says, To confirm the discussion at the end of this podcast, Click Nation members with valid Click ID will, in fact, have lodging taken care of anytime you're in the Portland metro area. Hashtag West Coast Click.
Cool.
Our West Coast Click affiliate member.
Yeah,
we are planning a trip.
Trailblazer game.
But that's it. That is cool. Right. One of these things we gotta get start being. We can do live. Have people call in.
Yeah, I'm gonna start trying to plan that. Hopefully, people actually would
call.
Call in or interact during like live show. Live shows.
Yeah.
So let me make sure that's last of the comments on the website. Yep. All right. So let me pull up reader email because we had an email.
Email.
1 second. Mail and Click Nation. Yes. From, let's see, make sure I'm not missing anything. Oh, we'll see. Tatum216. Let me make sure I got his Twitter name right. Yes, Tatum216 sent us an email back on the 2nd. I'm really enjoying new edition of Leroy Jetstream and Brandy. It has really given the show some more good laughs. Thank you, guys. Keep up the good work. And, yeah, he gave his Twitter name and the handle. So, appreciate that, Tatum.
And yes.
The last email is from Miss Get Off My Planet. Laughing my ass off at me being Tim Dahl's jump off.
So hey girl, how you doing?
So I guess.
Oh God, that's probably my bad. I probably said that dumb shit.
that was me.
I was one of you two. But she says, so I guess all my tattoos are not okay. Oh well. Oh, also really glad you guys brought back the old intro. Hope you have had a nice 4th of July.
So, that's sweet. We like her.
Yes, that's Rachel, aka Get Off My Planet on Twitter.
We like her. She's cool. Hey, Rachel.
Yes, she's good, folks. Follow her on Twitter at Get Off My Planet all together. And we had an iTunes review, which was pretty funny. Pull that up.
I actually got it up. It was just one I had told you about the other day.
Yes, you can go ahead and read it if you've got it up.
All right. We got another 5-star review. It says, great, but fix the sound levels, as in make yourselves audible, okay? Or get elocution lessons. Also, is Brandy as fine as she sounds?
Did that nigga say elocution?
Yeah, motherfucker's trying to say we can't speak, man. That's what you're trying to say.
Is that what you're trying to say? Dude, whoever the fuck you are, fuck you.
But it was a 5-star review, so
no. This nigga got to get chunked off because he's talking shit. Look, dude, we from the South. We speak fast, so if you can't listen fast, shut the fuck up and start listening to the show. Go ahead.
And what user handle was that?
519 on January 26th.
Jump off a bridge, bitch.
And make sure to send us some more views on iTunes.
Yeah, some more views on that.
So we got the emails. Make sure I'm not missing any other. Oh, yeah. I got some. Let's see. Pull some Twitter. Make sure I ain't miss any tweets. Kojak Delta says, great Spider-Man episode. And I did leave a comment on the page. Appreciate that, Kojak. That's at Kojak Delta on Twitter. He gave some comments on Spider-Man. Says he's gonna go see it tonight. He says he's gonna lend a mini review. Actually, I don't think he actually sent anything after that. But let us know what your thoughts are on The Amazing Spider-Man. We'll read them on the show. It's hard to go back through so many freaking tweets.
He said the Comic Book Chronicles was like one of the best episodes we did.
Yes, people seem to enjoy the Comic Book Chronicles. We need to probably do those every so often as news warrants. I definitely want to do review of the news that comes out during the San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah.
Or Comic Con International : San Diego, as it's called now, yeah. I see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all proper.
All proper. With colons and shit.
I know Banff may want to do a like maybe just chronicle like some type of some movie franchise that he's a fan of and, you know, give his review, you know, is it worth buying on Blu-ray, DVD or whatever, or, you know, is it worth checking out?
Yes, that sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'll decide.
Yes. Mold that. Is that the word? Mold it over?
Mold that over.
Yeah.
Mold, yeah, M-U-L-L. Since we need elocution lessons.
Oh, yeah. The last tweets we have are from
Monet.
I like that callback you just did. Elocution. The last tweets we had are from Podcast EDP, which is the Eclectic Discussion Podcast from our group, buddy Eclectic. I sent a tweet out asking what folks thought of The Amazing Spider-Man. He says, ASM was not a good movie. Too many plot holes or abandoned plots. Unmaskings were dumb. Story didn't even match the trailer. Garfield made a good Parker. The Stacys were good. The rest was whack. And that serum made Doc go from saving the world to making mutants? What happened to the Indian guy? Ben's killer? Osborne's sick? So he
that
kinda...
is true. That was something that was unresolved.
I thought the Indian guy got eaten.
I thought he got thrown.
Oh yeah, because he got caught on the bridge. What happened after that?
No, he got on the bridge and the lizard. Remember, he threw the car off the bridge, and that was
Spider-Man called it. Spider-Man called it though.
Yeah, he called it. It was hanging. No, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah. I thought he didn't catch it.
Because remember, he caught it and was hanging them all down with the webbing and everything. So he wasn't important. He was just, you know.
He was just there.
He needed to be there to help. He needed to facilitate the change. He had to give him, you know, he had to stress Connors out.
Right.
And making sure we didn't have, I think we had one Facebook comment. I believe actually it was from Kojet Delta again. Make sure. Actually, I know it was from him. But listen,
we really need to get Kojak Delta on the show.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna hit him
big
up.
Big shout out to Kojak Delta and West Coast Jonas 3000. We need to get them on the show.
We do, man. That Kojak Delta dude, he's a fan, man. We like that kid.
Hold on, let me
inside. Yeah. Kojak Delta, honorary clip member, wherever you are, Kojak.
Yeah, he said, best upstart cast on The Future is Bright, gentlemen. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Kojak Delta.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
So that's it for our listener feedback. We appreciate all of it. We actually have stuff to read out on the show now. So if you want to be heard, your voice to be heard on the show, make sure to hit us up an email, theclicknation@gmail.com, or you can leave us comments on any of our website posts. And also hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/TheClickNation or on Twitter at TheClickNation. And like I said, we will, whatever you say, we will say. Oh, yeah, and also on iTunes reviews. So you can be like 15, whatever his name was, and we can have Mr. Banff go off on you.
Yeah, if you talk shit, I'm going to talk shit.
We unleash unleash the Banff.
Be prepared, motherfuckers.
And real quickly, it's a it'll plug our individual Twitter accounts. You can find me on Twitter at TimDOGG98.
I'm at @the_Adam_Black on Twitter.
And I'm at Leroy Jetstream. Well, that's @Leroy_Jetstream.
And I am at Mr. Banff, and that's MISTABAMF. But I don't tweet. I was supposed to start the tweet of the week. I didn't did that yet because let's fuck it. I don't tweet. So yeah. You might get a tweet of the month. I don't know.
You can do like John and find him on Facebook.
I'm gonna have to ask him
how he found you. I guess went through my page, see who my followers were. Probably you probably commented on something of mine, and he probably saw
I think I did, yeah. And I think my Facebook picture is the profile pic is the same as my Twitter profile pic. So
yeah,
you know, so that's probably why you found me.
Smart
man.
But I don't think I missed anything. And next week's show, do we know? I'm not even sure if we know what next week's show is. Well, I guess we're debating really? Batman, doing some Batman to preview the Dark Knight Rises. So it'll probably be something along those lines. And maybe some comic book con talk also, since that's going on this week.
Yeah.
But stay tuned. You never know. We might shuffle the deck again.
Yeah, because we don't plan for anything, hardly, but...
You know, that's what we do. We don't do plans, niggas. But we might actually do some elocution lessons.
Wait, tell my shoulder. I mean,
Haven't you watched Love and Hip Hop ATL?
That's how wait, Ms. Beth. You know what I need to do, homie? I need to put some paws on him.
Putting paws on them.
I'll put paws on them,
Saudi. I was like, "What's that? What's his name? One more time. What's his name?
519.
I'm gonna go follow your ass on Twitter and talk shit to you all fucking day.
I don't even know if that's a Twitter follower or not. I've never seen that name before. It's probably someone I'm cool with too on Twitter.
Probably is, but you ain't cool with his ass now. That nigga's gonna hate me.
Oh, God.
So, for the Click Nation, I am Tim DLGG, and thanks for listening, and we're going to sign off.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Coming to green, but then you're never walking out again. Until you're back on the wolf pack.